Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
We're back here on Moody on the mic, and geez, are we in form or what? Group 1's galore in Sydney, and we're just back in winners for fun. Peter Moody, you gave a strong push to Finance Tycoon last week. Muhammad Ayaz was your best bet. You can't train a winner at the moment, but you found a bit of form on the punt.
Yeah, it's been good racing, Roger. Hopefully our loyal listeners out there in the Netherlands and Nigeria and Canada have been following our tips, and I believe Mytho ran into a few of our fans at Corville during the week, so that's good. That's great that people are listening, and great that we can help them along, but it's just been terrific autumn racing, hasn't it? One more weekend of Group 1 racing in Sydney, then we're off to Adelaide and Brisbane. Sydney Cup last weekend. Don't know that we'll see too many of those going around in the Melbourne Cup. Hungry Heart, her form extended through to the Oaks. She dominated that. Listen, it's just been good competitive racing.
Yeah, fantastic. We all lined up on Hungry Heart too, so that was another one for the punters. Mytho, one question has been asked, though. I know a punter came up and congratulated you on the amount of winners we tipped in. And this, don't get me wrong, listeners, we are well aware this is just a giant wank fest, patting ourselves on the back. But it was, the question was asked of me, why did Mytho make Thousand Wishes the Rosemont Ruffy?
And I don't really have the answer for you there, Rog. I suspect that I was just all eyes on Mr. Quickie after sound advice from former Rosemont racing manager Peter Moody to bypass the all-age stakes and head towards a race that Sosie Bond beat us in.
We all lucked out on Mr. Quickie. Don't worry about that.
She was very good, Thousand Wishes, and she was certainly the punter's founder. I think we gave her a little push before I got into my Rosemont best bet, I think. The Rosemont Moral, I think we called him, Mr. Quickie. But, she was excellent. It was great to hear from a couple of the punters. I was trying to get the photo up of our man, pretty sure it was Scott. I feel embarrassed that I've forgotten his name because I told him I'd give him the shout-out, but I'm hopeless with names. He was very pleased with our work. He's been lining his pockets the last few weeks, and I did give him the personal tip on Thousand Wishes and said, look, anything you've won today on Hungry Heart and Finance Tycoon, thanks to Moods, just a lot, all chips in on Thousand Wishes, and away she went. So, Rayman, how'd you go? Do you tip a winner for us?
Well, I may have tipped 7 of the 10 races on the Randwick card. Just a little bit of a head wobble there myself.
Wow-wee.
At $6.50. Jamea, $19. Yeah, she was a nice day. But I still went to bed angry because Natoya beat Probabil in the Queen. That's one I will not get over anytime soon. She's one of the great enigmas of Australian racing, Natoya. For me, bit of a pest because she always seems to knock me off, but it was another outstanding win from her and another outstanding post-race interview from Wendy Roach, who I think needs her own reality TV show.
And what about getting back to Randwick on Saturday? No rain for the week. They watered. Ended up being a bit of a wet tracker's paradise, didn't it? A little bit of controversy there. Throughout the day, horse's significant wet track form to the fore just makes you wonder how that came about.
William Haggis considering scratching a D if the track came up too hard, and there were various comments about track conditions in Australia, and I think that got a bit of a run earlier in the week too, didn't it, Pete?
William Haggis is a bloody good bloke, but I'm not sure that he's the track curator at Randwick.
Sure he's not.
Listen, maybe he's moved down. He wanted to get out of the hot spots of Newmarket with his COVID issues and take over that job. I'm not sure. But, yeah, little bit of controversy there this week. But anyhow, we'll let smarter minds look into that.
On Randwick on Saturday, one issue that did come out of it was this supposed, very elegant owners want to challenge Adib's owners to a match race for $10 million. Now, if this wasn't the biggest wank of a story I've ever seen in racing, I don't know what is, because The idea of a match race I find farcical. The what's great about racing is that horses have to navigate their way through fields sometimes, or set the agenda up the front, and to have two horses just going at it takes out half the fun of racing. In saying that, a three horse race was nice in the spring, but two horse race, I don't know what your thoughts are on match race.
Yeah, I don't mind the match race concept. Let's Start famously did it in the late 80s, I think it was. But for me, they've got it around the wrong way, because like, if you do a match race between Very Elegant and a day, it only favors a day, because he's the one there that makes his own luck right on the speed there. He loves these sort of these sort of slow, they go slow early, and then he's just tough. You can't get past him. So I think in a match race, he would beat Very Elegant, I'd say probably 7 or 8 times out of 10. But in a real race with other horses in it, it's much closer. So I think if I was William Haggers, I would have accepted the challenge and taken home even more money than what he's already leaving Australia with.
Would be nice to just have $5 million to wave around. Moods, I remember during the Black Caviar era, it was floated that Black Caviar versus Frankel at sort of 1400 was always put out there, but that was never going to happen, was it?
No, well, listen, that was just media talk and trying to create speculation. So, you know, it would have been nice to see them both in the same race, I suppose, but that was never going to happen. But we've seen two terrific horses in a day, been Very Elegant. But I'm in Rain Man's corner there. Like, the owners are Very Elegant, dead set. They've got both hands on their put if it's fitting. You know, taking on a day in a match race, we saw what happens to her when the pace isn't on Saturday. She's the best horse in Australia, but when conditions don't suit, she had a little wobbly and threw her head a few times and got on unbalanced and out of kilter. I probably, in hindsight, wonder what would have happened if James McDonald had a let her stride through, even take up the running, just find that happy medium. Because as soon as a Dave didn't hit the front, you got 6 or 7 other jockeys turned around and said, oh, hang on, our manager and the trainer and our speed map man all told us that a Dave's going to leave. And a Dave didn't jump. They didn't know what to fucking do. They all shit themselves. And for the probably the best jockey of the land, J-Mac the same. So, you know, plan A out the window, no B, C. Tommy Mark one pulled their pants down. Fucking dead set diddly.
None of you guys have got any sort of imagination. It was one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard from an ownership group that wanted another crack at it, Peter. That's exactly why they wanted the match race. Let's see who's gonna swing the old fella around and come up with $5 million. We'll shake what's his name come up with $5 million to match the little Aussie battlers down here with a horse bred in the South Island, New Zealand by a stallion called Zed. The little battler comes up against the Sheik. We've got $5 million. Where's your $5 million? We want another crack, and we'll take you on and make our own luck, and we'll take on the race.
I want to know
exactly the play.
Well, I want to know who's ever called Ray Selesky a little Aussie battler. And if you've got $5 million to wave around, your little Aussie battler tag's well out the window.
I'm tipping Shake, what's his name, doesn't know Bray Sikowski from his can of spam. So I wouldn't be thinking that he knows who he is or who anyone much is in Australia. So I thought it was a great idea and a bunch of guys who are willing to take on the sport and do something different. And I wish it had happened. I would have turned up for it. Bloody oath. Would have been awesome.
Do you, at the Rosemont Christmas party, do you get like the best 10 horses from Rosemont and just give them a race around and a bit of a match race out there on the farm just to give the entertainment to the workers?
No, it's usually a very, very sedate game of 2020 out the back in one of the paddocks and Peter Moody bowling very pedestrian off spin.
He's a wicketkeeper.
And Mitho wanting to come in off 100-yard run up and rip them past your eyeballs, being a total cocksucker. As stupid as the thought of Very Elegant trying to take a day bond in a match race. Fair dinkum.
I am here to show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Kachingos! We've Ladbroke the Ladbrokes app and made it faster than ever before. Never miss a minute of the action with the new and improved Ladbrokes app. Download it today.
But let's not stop there. Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
First Group One on the program at Randwick on Saturday is the Champagne Stakes, a $500,000 race for two-year-olds. Rayman, how does the market look? Because the top two seem to be, if you're drawing a line through the size of the best guy, they look like the ones to beat.
Yeah, they come out of the sires. Halal is the favourite there at $3.40. Captivant there at $4. The horse that comes through a different form line is Converge. Won the Fernhill last week. It's currently at $5.50. And they're the only horses here at single figure odds. It's a tough race to get a read on because you purely on ratings thus far, the size ratings do have a clear class edge over anything else any horse in this race has produced. And you look at Halal and Captivant in the size, they went to the line basically together. Halal did finish slightly better and is the $3.40 favourite. But when they came out on Animo, Captivant really got knocked over. Tim Clark was almost fell off. So it sort of had to pick itself back up and get going again. I think it did a pretty good job to do exactly that, Captivant. It's been thereabouts in these good races. It's got form around all the best two-year-olds in the country. And to be perfectly frank, none of the best two-year-olds in the country are in this field on Saturday. So I think this could be Captivant's time to claim a Group 1 win. I think $4 currently available is a pretty good bet.
I know the connection to Daily Bugle are heading up, hoping that he's a dry tracker and can bounce back on the good surface after that that run in the sires. Dave Eustace in the media today actually sort of said Port Louis, his comments would lead to suggest that $26 on offer there was a little over the odds. Moots, how do you see this? I know two-year-olds are obviously hard to line up and you never know when they're going to turn up or not.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to back the Waterhouse Bot horse Converge. He's had a solid grounding, 1,400 and a mile run under his belt. He'll go forward, he'll lead or be right there on top of the speed and take a fair bit of running down. Son of Frankel, good, tough, honest galloper. And I don't think there's too many superstars amongst this lot. It's been depleted, the Champagne Stakes, and hence the reason you see quite a few maidens and that turning up here. But I just thought he might be rock hard and fit on his home track and be too strong up on the speed.
It does tend to come up one of the weaker Group Ones every year. I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, it was a real piss poor field with about 5 or 6 runners. But Mitho, you'd love to have one in it. Do you have one in it?
No, I don't. But I'm going to stick with Peter Moody, and we agreed on Hungry Heart last week, and it seemed to be a winning combination with a progeny of Frankel. Peter and myself stuck together, and I think we all tipped Hungry Heart. Converge for me. You're really looking for. I like to have a look at this race as a view of what are going to be the middle distance horses going forward into their 3 and 4 year old year. It's not really that speedy 2 year old race. You look and see that it's a 2 year old Group One race, but you're really looking for your classic horses of the future, and Converge looks like that for me out of the Bot Waterhouse yard. So I'm going to stick with horse in form. It'll be fit. It'll be up on speed, and you can see Tim Clark getting the job done. So just before I throw over for other tips, though, talking of Group One performances, what about Peter Moody's daughter? Shout out to Brianna Moody, who was named the All Australian Ruckwoman in the AFLW last night at the prestigious awards there at Crown Casino. He's a Group One producer now, Peter Moody. Bree Moody, number one ruckwoman in the country. Well done, Moods, all Australian. Congratulations.
Yeah, very proud father last night, Mitho. Thanks for that. And Brianne dropped the trophy up, and I missed her this afternoon to give her a kiss and a hug for her effort, but she's worked hard, as all those girls do, and it was nice to see her rewarded last night. So very proud daddy, and obviously gets her athletic ability from me.
You've said for quite some time, Moods, about that, you know, the way the AFLW's come about and giving these girls a chance, to, it's now a legit competition. I missed it, Bree had been named in the All-Australian team. The fact that it's now, you know, strengthened as a comp and she's the number one ruck in the comp, I mean, that's no mean feat.
Massive effort, yeah.
And the fastest growing sport in Australia, women's AFL. So AFL are to be commended and for supporting these young ladies getting out there, and they're putting on a wonderful show, and the quality of the football is improving each and every time they step out, and it will only continue to do so.
And now there's less room in your bar because she would have put the trophy in there. So
Hasn't made its way there yet. Still on the kitchen bench. I reckon it'll probably sit there for a couple of weeks so everyone that comes through the house will have to view it.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Well done to Bree Moody there. Like I said, I completely missed that. Let's move on now, though, to – oh, by the way, speaking of talented females, I think the Philly Gin Martini might be a good each-way shot in the Champagne Stakes. The All-Age Stakes, Rayman, and look, we've spoken about Masked Crusader and that he's got some more Group 1s to win, and this does look like he's for the taking.
Yeah, Masked Crusader, the dominant favourite here, Rog at $2.80. Savitano is $7. Gontas, I'll win a Cascadian, $8.50. And then Tagalava, the three-year-old, $9.50. The only horses here at single-figure odds. I think Masked Crusader is a deserving favourite, but I certainly wouldn't be giving him the raise just yet, Rog. I'm happy to take him on at this $2.80 price. No doubt the horse is flying. He's been the William Reid Stakes, was excellent. He was really good behind Nature Strip in the TJ, but that was at 1,200 metres. This is a 1,400 metre race, and this can be a completely different situation. He's had one start over 1,400 metres. He started $1.53 favourite. He finished eighth, beaten four and a half lengths by Prime Candidate. So there is a question mark at the trip. Just because he comes home strongly over 1,200 metres does not mean he runs out a strong 1,400 metres. So I'm happy to take him on, and I'm happy to take him on with a mare that is absolutely flying in the form of Savitano at $7. I think he's an outstanding bet. First up win in the Expressway, absolutely flogged them, and then claimed her maiden Group 1 win in the Canterbury Stakes. I think James Cummings has got this horse exactly right now. You've got to keep her fresh, really spread her races out, and she'll go into this race really primed to claim another Group 1. So I think 1,400 metres is her pet distance. So I think it's $7. Savitiano's an outstanding bet. She's drawn barrier 6 with Bowman in the saddle. Absolutely perfect. I think she'll be ahead of Masked Crusader in the run. I think she'll be really hard to get past. So I'm pretty keen Savitiano in this one.
Lucci famously said a couple of weeks ago that if any jockey could get Cascadian to the fore and to win a feature race, it was Jamie Carr. She's back in the saddle of Cascadian in this one. Do you think she can do it again?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
I think back to the 1,400, probably not ideal. That's an afterthought for Cascadian now. But I'm with Rain Man all over Savitiano here. She's the one horse in the race that's been absolutely targeted at this race. Been kept fresh. They've sort of stayed away. They've dodged the Doncaster and the Queen of the Turf and all those races. She's going to sit up in the first two or three. In a race where I don't think there's going to be a hell of a lot of tempo. Now, Masked Crusader, to get cover, is either going to have to go right back and give her six or eight length start or sit wide on a dawdling tempo. Now, he's the best horse in the race, don't get me wrong. And he wins if everything pans out. But facts and figures, $7 Savitiano each way or $2 probably, I would think, probably nearly even money come jump time, Masked Crusader. Leave me out. Little Ruffy, Tagaloa, he's another one that's been kept fresh and targeted for this. He'll be rock hard, ready. This horse will want to go out, I would imagine, at probably nearly his final run as a try to win a Group 1. His form's been good against his own age group. And, you know, he's probably going to give a side as well. But Savitiano for me.
I do like one to upset Masked Crusader, and it's for all the reasons you outlined there. It is Tagaloa, freshened from that last start, third in the Australian Guineas heading into this. I think Tagaloa's at $9 is a real good show. Mitho, what do you reckon?
I'm going to tip Colding. I just think he's a horse that can surprise in a race like this. It's not your top-notch Group 1 race, and that's about where Colding fits in. He's able to bob up in a race like this, drawn well, Brenton Abdullah up, and he's been placed or won 10 times from 15 starts at the trip, so you'd call it his pet trip, I reckon. 1,400, Colding for me, at the double-figure odds, that'll do me.
Earlier in the day, the Carr Stakes. That's not the Jamie Carr K-A-H Stakes, but the C-A-R-R Carr Stakes. It's a Group 3 set weights plus penalties for three-year-old fillies. It's a pretty open race, Rayman, and there's a horse here ridden by Jamie Carr called All Hallows Eve, which is, of course, one of Mitho's. Has he opened the wallet? Has the odds tightened on her yet?
Not yet. So still waiting for Mitho to unload on All Hallows Eve. A very juicy price of $9 here. Kiku is the favourite at $2.70. Matchmaker $3.50. And then a fair gap to Geist and I Say Hello 750. I've got a lot of respect for Hallows Eve. I've sort of followed her all the way through. I think that she's definitely not out of place in a race like this. I think $9 is a pretty good price for her. I do think Chris Waller's got the strong hand here with the two favourites, but I'd rather be a matchmaker at the 360 than Kiku at the 270. Last start win in the PJ Bell was really good from matchmaker. J-Mac in the saddle should get a nice run in transit here. So I think Waller's got the strong hand here, but happy to be with the second favourite to knock off the favourite.
I haven't taken a huge look at it. Moods, I know you probably haven't either. So let's just go straight to Mytho to make the case for all Hallows Eve.
Well, I reckon it's an even bunch of fillies, and she's been set for this. We've got a top jockey in Jamie Carr up. It'll be in a case of the horse that gets best run in this even lot of fillies probably wins the prize. And why would you be taking 6-4 when you can take nearly double figure odds all Hallows Eve with Victoria's top jock in Jamie Carr up? So yeah, a bit of, if you're an omen better, you're having a bet in the J Carr stakes, you're probably backing J Carr and hoping that all Hallows Eve can flash home in the red colors from barrier one. So why not all Hallows Eve? Let's go get them.
Set for this, it's gone round and everything bar a fucking Egan Spoon race at Mount Druitt.
Well, it's had six starts in its life,
and this is its fifth run this time.
This is the sister to All Saints Eve, you moron. There's two different horses.
It's lining up for its fifth start, the preparation on Saturday. What, it'd need a lot of galloping to get ready for a 1,400-metre race, did it?
We kicked off its preparation in February. It's just been taken along slowly. You had a run a month. God, jeez, Peter. Do your form properly. I think you've got confused with the two sisters. There's two of them.
Yeah, good. I can see you were thinking of this race when it went to Gosford in February.
The pack of plate, Ray, man. It looks an ideal race for Lions. Raw back on top of the ground. 2,000 metres, a Group 1 winner back to a Group 3. It looks a near good thing to me, but the bookies certainly haven't missed it either.
Yeah, it's an open up a $2 favourite, Rogers. Market says it's a race in three. Lions Raw, $2. Quay Quay, $3.20. High Supremacy, $3.30. And then you've got a huge gap to Achiever at $31. And it's a huge price to rest. I think Lions, on ratings, it does look like it's got the edge here, Lions Raw at $2. But it sort of moves a touch to the edge. Like, there's no doubt the pack of plates an afterthought. And we can often see in the pack of plate a horse that comes out of the Derby starts pretty short. Last year, Quick Thinker did it, who won the Derby. Ashores comes out of the Derby, starts really short and gets rolled just because it's an afterthought and it's sort of had enough. So it's a race where I like to sort of try to look a little bit wide to try to find one at a price. I think there is one that can knock off these favourites. It is Achiever. It's $31 to win, $390 the place. Not the most consistent horse in the world, but only had the two wins for 13 starts, but has popped up and ran some pretty good races in some higher quality affairs. So not a race I'm overly keen to get too invested in, but I think Achiever can run a bit of a sneaky race at the $31.
I'm going to stick with Lions Raw, but now you've scared me out of it. Moods, is there one here that at a price that you think might surprise you? You know well about horses just getting to the end of the prep.
Well, as I can't find one. The Lions Raw is 20 ratings points ahead of the rest of the field. So all things being equal, it should win, but afterthought, a little bit surprised to see it here. I thought it might have ventured to South Australia or to Queensland for the Derby rather than back up into this race. A little bit of a shock. Can Quay Quay, what do we call him?
Quay Quay.
Quay Quay, C. Williams, up on speed, dictating Lions Raw off the speed, out the back. But that 20 ratings points certainly does concern me. And No betting race. Watch. And Lions Raw, best horse. Do you want to back him? No.
No, I'm strong here. I'm really strong here. Just put Lions Raw in all your multis and get double your odds. It's quite simple here. At even money, this is giving away money. And you're probably not going to smash in on a win bet, but just have it in all your multis and just double up your odds. Lions Raw, take your fair share. Why not? So O'Shea's no dummy. He'll know what to do with this horse. He'll have a plan. And those rating points you mentioned, Peter, it's an absolute standout.
I think that's almost exactly what you said about Mr. Quickie last week. Word for word.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
got to get it right eventually.
this horse is going to be in the same situation. He's going to be back off the speed, could be dawdling run, and could be a mathematical impossibility for him to run it down, a bit like the Mr. Quickie of last week. And how many times do we say on this show, those horses that get back in the field, they need things to go their way.
Yeah, you got to make your own luck. Hail Mary Stakes. Hail Mary Stakes. Hallmark Stakes. What is over the Hail Mary Stakes? Rayman, how's the market looking for this one?
Yeah, often in a key lead up for the sprints during the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Got 11, the favourite here. He comes out of the TJ. He's $3.30. Senior Fox, last start winner for Team Snowden's $5. Victorum, he'll head up to Queensland for the sprint. He's $6. Then you got Rohirrim at $8.50. So it's a pretty interesting race. I think 11-11 was really good in the TJ Smith. And he's been one of mine for a while. He always goes around at a nice price and often gets the job done. But 3.30, I think, is a little bit on the skinny side here from barrier 10. He's going to get back here in the run. And then I'll be giving a few of these horses here a genuine head start. I think Rohirrim can run really well here at $8.50. Jamie Carr in the saddle for Godolphin once again. It was really good last start in the Star Kingdom, finished third, and had 3 weeks between starts, which I think is ideal for it here. And I think it'll be able to settle closer to the speed than it did last start here. From barrier 5 with Jamie Carr in the saddle, perhaps to get an absolute dream run. And I think his best form is just as good as any other horse in this race. And you're getting $8.50. So I'm pretty keen here, Rohirrim in the Hallmark. And then I think he'll head to Queensland where he wouldn't look out of place in a race like the Stradbroke Handicap.
The one I like here is one that you got to proceed with a bit of caution. It's Alpha Oro from the Matt Lawrie stable. Pretty consistent galloper, but it's a few weeks between runs now. It was a late scratching last week. So it does go in, relatively fresh, which should help. 1,200 metres is ideal. Never run in the clockwise direction. So that is an obvious query. It is a dual acceptor, though. So if they do go here, I think expect it to be right in the mix at near double figure odds. Moods.
I'm with another one at odds here and probably on the road to Queensland too, I would think. Stablemate of Rohirrim, Rainier, the 7 horse. Hugh Bowman had a very soft trial at Randwick a few weeks back, ran last in a trial there, and I don't think it could have gone round any softer. One from 6 first up, but it has placed a few times. But just thought, in a race that's not, there's not too many of these going to be going around in the Everest next year. I thought it was a good each way hope. What odds, Rainier? Rain Man, 12, 15.
$18 to win, $4.60 the place.
I think each way all day, Rainier in the Hallmark.
Mitho.
Well, it's a hard race when Moods is tipping one that's one from 6 second up, is it? And 1 out of 7 on the track. It is a bit of a lottery. Throw a dart at a dartboard for want of a tip. Splintex might be about due at almost double figure odds as well. I reckon Rayman sort of $10 mark roughly. Josh Parr in the saddle. No confidence, but Splintex the tip.
Now, they've got obviously outstanding facilities down at Rosemont Stud, the farm down there. But I just want to point out that the internet's shit and Mitho's not pissed as a cricket and it's just the internet. So if you hear him slurring his words, I guarantee he's not drunk. It's just a little bit of a delay on the internet. So don't worry about that. Let's go to Caulfield now. And I want to kick off with the first because there's a horse that Moods tipped everyone into last time to have a bit of an each-way bet at. And we saw her back from 30s into 15s and she got beaten not too far by the eventual Blue Diamond runner-up in Ingratiating. And that is Gimme Parr from the Black Caviar Ole Kirk family. She's come back into work, Moods, when you probably weren't expecting to see her this soon, but she came back into work to your farm not long ago. How's she looking heading in first up here?
Yeah, she's trialled up well at home last week, this filly. I think she's a very good filly. She's not very big in stature. She's quite a small filly. And 58 kilos, I think, is a genuine concern, but I think she's a very high-quality filly. And she's probably on trial for a trip to Queensland for the size produce in about a month's time. So I would be expecting her to win off the back of how she's gone at home leading into this, given even luck. What price we got, Rain Man?
$2.50, Moods. So the bookies haven't missed her this time, that's for sure.
$2.50. Ooh, that's a bit ugly.
It is, and I'm going to ask you another question because this is going to appear on racing.com tomorrow. But would you have liked to have seen her just have a little bit more time in the paddock to really build up that size and strength and get her back at, well, let's be honest, a little bit prematurely?
No, well, it was my decision to bring her in because she was going to be in the paddock too long for a spring campaign with a view to giving her this run and maybe taking her to Queensland for one run and wintering her up there. So... I can only hang myself. The plan was initially to give her 3 months out and just break that 3 months up with a month's pre-training in the middle. But if she can win here on Saturday, she probably gets a run in a race like the Size Produce up in Queensland. And if not, maybe a little two-year-old filly stakes race has a break up there and preps for the spring from Queensland.
And the horse second in the market in that race, Billion Dollar Baby, was pretty impressive winning on debut as well. So it's not a lay-down, Mazier, that's for sure. Rayman, as we there is a race at Crawford you did want to look at though, and that is the anniversary, Rog.
It's a really interesting betting race this one. We've basically got four equal favourites. Missile Mantra, who's a Group 1 player, skater, missed out on winning 1,000 guineas by a pixel. Still a Star, the Star Tasmanian Mare, Groundswell, they're all $4.50. Then you've got Riddle Me There at $4.80. So I think this is another race where we could see horses go to either South Australia or Queensland for the carnivals there. And Miss Amantra has always promised plenty. Her racing pattern, which does get back on the run, means that things do need to go her way. So she'll need a little bit of luck. Well, I think Groundswell is a horse that's always a huge amount of ability as well. Also nom for Adelaide. So I think wherever he goes, he's going to be tough to beat. I wouldn't be shocked if they do go to Adelaide because he's a shorter price in that race. But I think it's been an interesting race to follow heading towards Brisbane and South Australia. So I'll be keeping an eye on it.
No jockey declared on Groundswell in Melbourne. So I'd say it's probably
going to Adelaide. South Australia. Yeah.
I am here to show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Giddy up and Ladbroke the winners this autumn carnival right in the mounting yard. Bring a little razzle-dazzle and be part of the action. Download the Ladbrokes app for a better betting experience today.
But let's not stop there. Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Best bets time. Dead set flying here on Moody on the mic. Let's kick it off with the man who got it home last week at a decent price too. Rayman, what do you got for us this week?
Going to race for number 5 on Taunt at Royal Randwick, Rog, in the JRA plate. For Annabelle Nisham, an import, ran really well in the Doncasters. Open up a clear favourite here, but I think Anton has been sort of forgotten by the market here. It's a great price at the $4.20 currently available. One, what was a pretty strong addition of the Albury Gold Cup a couple of starts ago. Then last start, Chased Home, Shared Ambition into the Neville Selwood. And I don't think there's a horse of Shared Ambition's talent in this race. So 2,000 metres, perfect. He'll make his own luck right on the speed. He's rock hard fits. I think Anton's a really good bet here in the JRA plate.
My best bet, I can't get you a price on because it's, as we record, these acceptances haven't been finalised, but I do know that this horse is headed to this race and I do think no matter who else accepts, he should be winning. It's Sunday at Flemington in the VRC St. Ledger. I think it's going to be race 4 and that's through Irish Eyes. Now, I really like Laquero last start at Caulfield. Only just got home ahead of through Irish Eyes. At that trip, they step out to 2,800 metres this time where I think Through Irish Eyes will have the edge. I'm hoping for around the $4. Maybe I won't get it. I'm not very good at that bookmaking stuff, but Through Irish Eyes and the VRC St. Ledger. Mytho.
Yeah, we're going to Adelaide for the Nitschke Stakes, a horse that's got some talent, got some ability. She deserves some black type early in her career. Way to go, Paula. Let's hope for that way to go Paula moment with her. Will Price to ride Stokes. She set her for this second up. She had a bit of a luckless time of it in the spring when she stepped up after winning a maiden into stakes racing and just didn't get the break. So if she gets a bit of luck second up here, 1,400 Nitschke Stakes listed level, she can knock off a Greble, who's that horse that Peter mentioned earlier, heading to Adelaide Jewel accepted in at Caulfield as well. I reckon she's a good bet at double figure odds there. Rayman, what are you giving me? What do we get? Way to go, Paula.
$12 the win, $3.30 the plays. Anavisto is the $2.35 favourite in that race.
really unfortunate set of circumstances with the best bets when we do put this on Twitter. Obviously, if you're listening on the podcast, no dramas whatsoever. Mytho froze as he was giving his best bet. So it's going to be just basically a still of his rude head up there as he gives his best bet. Moods, a weekend where you've got a few runners in at Caulfield. Give us a little bit of a rundown. Not Gimme Par, obviously you've done that already, but what else you got there and else our best bet?
I've got a couple of mares in race 7, Another Dollar and Never Listen, both second up at 2,000 metres. I think Another Dollar can run extremely well. Second up form's pretty good, out to a trip that really suits. Never Listen, probably still a runaway off a top. Best bet's hard this weekend. If you find a few winners this week, I think you're going to get terrific value. I'm going to stick with 2 at what price? Another Dollar. Race 7 at Caulfield Rainman.
$20 Moods.
Well, I would be backing Another Dollar each way in the 7th at Caulfield. Race 7, horse 3, Another Dollar. I think she's each way to nothing. And also Rain here in the Hallmark Stakes in Sydney. My best for the week and is Gimme Par in the 2-year-old fillies race. Doesn't appear to be too many fast horses in this weekend, boys. I don't know what the jocks are going to do. How are they going to let them run fast?
Someone's got to lead, Moods.
But are they going to lead at a gallop? Are they going to let a fast horse run fast? I don't know if there's one there that can run fast. But try, boys. Come on. What do we do with fast horses? Let them run. Go fast, go hard, or go home. And maybe we could be going home after this weekend. Have a great weekend's racing, punters.
Ladbrokes.